shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Tonight we are putting aside all of the things that we do on this radio show to entertain, to enthuse, to attract, to distract. We're putting aside all of it. We're putting aside the funny voices. We're putting aside the funny bits. We're putting aside the theater. We're putting all of that aside. We're opening up the phone lines. And maybe we'll take calls and maybe we won't. Because what I've learned, and I've learned a lot doing talk radio, phone calls are simply a tool, nothing more than that. But I am not going to do any of those things. Tonight I'm just going to sit here for 3 hours and do what I've always believed spoken word talk radio should be, which is essentially storytelling. Compelling people with a story. Compelling people with talking. Okay? There's no rule that says I got to take phone calls, and there's no offense to the people that call talk shows, but phone calls are 9 times out of 10 they're a snooze. And I've got a little rule that I go by. So I can bomb on my own. I don't need help from the audience, you know. But my audience is really not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about that aspect of the audience, however small it is, people that call talk shows. I'm not going to take any extraneous, unnecessary calls tonight, but we might take a few. But the rest of what we have done on the Phil Henry Show over the course of 20-plus years, a kind of radio theater that we invented, we're not going to do tonight. I'm not going to do it tonight because I'm not in the mood, to be honest with you. I'm just not in the mood to do it. It's very, very difficult to do. It's hard work. It is a obvious physical strain because you're doing 3, 4, 5 different character voices a night, and you can lose your voice pretty fast. It takes a lot of preparation, and certainly you expect a certain payoff when you're working that hard. And, you know, our industry, the radio industry, is a very, very limited industry in its ability to deliver reward for that kind of work. So not that I'm not going to do that show anymore, but tonight is not the night. Tonight is not the night. Tonight, we will weave tales, tell stories, lie through our teeth. We will create our show tonight out of a different kind of a material. Perhaps the substance of my life, the substance and the materials that one can draw from the contemporary scene, things that one might draw from history, things that one might draw from, well, the future. I'm going to bring all of that in tonight because that's what I feel like doing, you know? And truth be told, we're probably long overdue for a good, honest, heart-to-heart here between you and me. Now, a lot of you guys have been listening to me for 20 years. A lot of you guys have been listening to me for 5 seconds. A lot of you guys have been listening for a couple of weeks. Some of you came on board a few months ago. Who knows when? Who knows how? It's not important. It's that you are deserving. Every single night you turn on that radio, you are deserving of something that may give you a little bit of a surprise or perhaps something that'll entertain, something that's going to delight or shock. I get it. I understand. You're not here necessarily to be informed, although that's fun. You're not necessarily here to laugh, although that can be a lot of fun too. You're not necessarily here for anything that you really expect that you're here for. You're just here to be interested, to be enticed, to be drawn in, to be stimulated, there's a word, for as long as I can possibly do that, and then you're going to go someplace else, and I don't blame you at all, man. But I'm just going to do my thing tonight on a Monday night here in America, Monday night, Tuesday morning, sans all of the other theatrics that I have often brought to the radio. Because I'm just not in the mood. I like it. I like doing that kind of show. I mean, but I'd tell you something right now. I'd love to make a really happening big time living just talking politics, but that stuff isn't interesting to me either. What is interesting to me, though, is people. People have always fascinated me, and sometimes I've been, as you have been, I've been both repelled and attracted by the human animal, you know. Sometimes people do things that are heroic and amazing, and you can't stop talking about it, and sometimes people can be so repugnant. And I'm not talking about criminals. I'm not talking about people that harm other human beings, violent people. No, that's obvious. No, I'm talking about just the daily... just sort of the daily parade of dumb, you know, that sometimes you see. It can't, you know, it just, it knows no bounds sometimes. So people are really fascinating to me in all of their regalia. And that's what we've always done our show about, human beings and people's reaction to things. I don't really care as much as perhaps some people think I should. And I don't think you do either. You know, I don't think you really care as much as some people think that you do about who is going to be the president. Yeah, it's an important decision. There's no question about that. But, hey, how much of that stuff are we going to talk about before you? Well, look, I know who I'm going to vote for. And I'd like to hear some different opinions. All right. So you got a million different opinions on who you'd like to vote for. Pretty soon, all it is just a big screaming match, isn't it? Now, what I like is I like to dig into the human condition as to why we are the way we are. Why do we do this, for instance? Why do we always do this? Why do we always say, when a guy says, well, you know, your guy mounted a giraffe in full view of people and had sexual relations. Yeah, well, your guy did it with a mule. Now, why do we do that? And the reason why I bring that up is, every time somebody indicts something that we believe by bringing up an odious, nefarious aspect to it, we don't respond by explaining that act. We go down to the same level and we say, well, maybe my guy mounted a giraffe, but your guy was all over a mule the other day in the city center. And there's where the argument goes. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because we don't really know why we believe what we believe. All we know is we belong to a club, man, you know. I'm in this club, you're in that club, and, well, okay, why are you in that club? Well, why are you in that club? You know, how many arguments have you ever been in, or how many debates have you ever heard where it goes there? Why are you in that club? Well, why are you? Like the other day, and I don't want to get political, this is not what this is about, but the other day I was saying something along the lines of, I was talking to somebody who said, you know, they're saying Bradley Manning is a hero. This is this guy, army guy that leaked all the information, you know, the WikiLeaks guy. Now he's in jail. He's an army guy that leaked information that was top secret or was privileged communication. I don't know. Call me crazy. Shouldn't a guy like that be arrested? Well, according to some people, no, he shouldn't. And the fact that Obama arrested him was hypocrisy. And I said to the guy, wait a second, he's the president of the United States. Isn't he supposed to, you know, enforce the law? Yeah, well, was he enforcing the law when we selectively, go after international? So in other words, what the guy was trying to do is draw me into some debate about how Obama is actually a hypocrite. He doesn't really enforce the law because he doesn't necessarily, adhere to international law. There was not any argument as to why the guy believed, you know, as to the necessity. The guy broke the law, man. So why are people dumb like that? And I've only come up with this conclusion. The reason why people go to those arguments is because they belong to a club. This is the club they're always going to be belonging to. And even if they have to retreat to this just abject stupidity, they're going to belong to that club. And that club is, in this guy's case, it was neither Republican or Democrat or liberal or conservative. He was part of, I mean, I can tell, man, right away. This dude was part of that I don't want to say ever burgeoning, but it's a group of people that are like the truthers. You know, everything, there's something going on, man. They don't know what it is, but there's something going on. Something going on. you know, there's, are you believing in a trilateral command? I don't know. You know, these guys have been with us for a long time since the Russian secret police wrote the trilateral code, that book, you know, about the, oh, the Elders of Zion. Have you heard of that one? That's the one that fueled the whole Jews run the world thing. It was written by the Russian secret police. It's a complete trumped up hoax. And yet it lasts and people quote it. Now, do they know they're quoting a hoax? Maybe. Maybe they do. Then why would they adhere to it, Phil? Why would they embrace it? Because that's the club they've decided to belong to. That's what they want to push. They want to push all that Jews created all the problems, and they're going to push it regardless, man. That's what they want to do. So it's no longer a belief as to what will make the world better. It's a country club of some sort, or it's a private society of some sort, or it's a secret society of some sort. It is belonging to something. Even if it's something that's going to take you right straight down the toilet, you know? So you can believe that Obama's part of an international conspiracy. You can think that the Mormons are a bunch of weird asses. You can think this, that. You can be Republican. I don't think Republicans and Democrats are any different. I think they're all part of the same mentality, which is I want to belong to a big family. Even if I got to be stupid, that's what I want to do. That's, you know, if you want my honest opinion about it. But this isn't about politics. This is about other decisions. Why do we send our kids to the schools we send them to? And why do we become members of the same neighborhoods? And why do we wear the same clothes, things like that? You know, I mean, that's what's interesting to me about people. We sacrifice, for instance, why do we risk death in order to have sex? Why do we do that? You know that people will risk AIDS, unprotected sex. They know they're going to get a death penalty, possibly, just to have sex. Why? Because some stuff is really important. And it's more important to belong than it is to advance truth. And it's more important to have sex than it is to live. Oh, well, that's ridiculous, Phil. That's what I'm seeing around me every day, man. You can say it's ridiculous. That's exactly what's happening. All right, I better take a break. And we will be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And what comes on the other side of this break, I cannot be, I don't want to take responsibility. I have to take responsibility for it, but I cannot tell you what's going to happen.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. If you're just joining us, I am dispensing tonight with our usual theatrics. We're dispensing tonight with the usual theatrical affectations. And I know that there's people would say, well, wow, Phil, you know, do you think the comics of the day, the people that do their TV shows, the people that do their performance on stage, do you think they do that? Well, I don't know if they do or not. I don't really care, but I do a three-hour radio show. That's different from doing a half an hour of television. It's different doing an hour of television once a week. This is, or even if it's every night, it's much different. This is a radio show that's 3 hours long nightly, and it requires these moments, shall we say, of distraction, and they require that we sometimes just take a, you know, big left turn or a right turn and go off road for a while. That's what it's about. And I was also inspired to do this because as I look here on Phil TV in HD, I have a series of slides behind me on our green screen that look as if were I the founder of a religion, and I wanted myself to be the god of that religion. These slides behind me are exactly what I would hang in my church. I'm kidding, but sort of not. Sort of not. All right, so if you're just joining us, here's where we're at. This is where we're at. I'm trying to find out now, what do people really believe? Because if there's one thing that talk radio, and really what is this about? My whole life has been, my whole professional life for the last 22 years has been about deconstructing and making fun of things in the media And one of the things that I love to deconstruct and make fun of is the unreal arrogance, I think, to be honest with you, that this particular format, talk radio, has existed with and within and has projected. It's hysterically funny to see so many people taking themselves so serious, especially when they shouldn't be, especially when nothing they have to say, with the exception of maybe one guy. I can think of one guy, and, you know, I'm not going to mention his name because you know who we're talking about, who's been a real shaker and mover in the world of talk radio. That's probably the only talk show we ever needed. You know what I'm saying? In terms of politics, the only one we ever really needed was him, because he's the only guy that anybody has, that anybody takes seriously. He's the guy, even people that hate him, they listen to him. Even people that can't stand him listen to him and take away from his show information. They are informed. And I don't think any other show on the air in talk radio can claim that combination of informative, popular, you know, cat makes money. That's probably the only one we ever needed. Everything else, in my opinion, is a waste. Unless, of course, you listen to Phil Hendry, who made fun of all of that. Or makes fun of all of that. Other than tonight. And maybe tonight we'll get into it as well. Maybe I have been since the very beginning. You know, but be that as it may, you know, what I'm saying here is this. What do we really believe? Well, I can tell you this. As I mentioned, people will claim membership in a political, you know, in a political kind of thinking, in a political party. They'll claim membership in that because they belong to a bunch of people. Maybe it resonates with them because, you know, there's a kind of anger that those people have that is good for them. Maybe their daddy, you know, kicked them out of the house. Their mother took them off the nipple too soon or something. So they need to be a certain kind of political animal. And so they justify it with all of that silly talk that we were talking about. When the guy says, your guy mounted a giraffe. Yeah, well, your guy. So they're never really talking about anything other than how more messed up their guy is than your guy. Well, that's not a political argument of any kind. That's not convincing anybody of anything. That's just being dumb, you know. But people will be dumb if they can belong to a family, even if it's a stupid family. Right? I mean, what did we learn from the Manson family, if not that? Although they were far more than just dumb. I mean, they were murderers. You know, they were antisocial. They were destructive. They were criminals. But they all belong to each other. I don't see any difference between that and half of the stuff that we do in this country when it comes to just about anything. But let's just say, for instance, politics. You know, let's say Republicans. No, I don't see any difference. None at all. I see people identifying with a certain way of life. I'm a conservative. Yeah? Yeah. All right. What? Well, so what does that mean exactly? I just believe in that. You know, I believe in the conservative. So even if there's a liberal thing, no, I don't believe that. Okay, fine, I'm not going to argue with you. Great, that's what I am, and, you know, but your guy mounted a giraffe. Yeah, well, what about the other guy? Bang, there we go again. He doesn't know why he's a conservative. He's a conservative because maybe his dad was. He's a conservative because he loves his country, and he thinks that that's the only, those are the guys I trust when it comes to defending. Maybe he was in the military. I don't know. Because if you get into the specifics of why the guy's a conservative, he couldn't tell you. Same thing with being liberal or Democrat. You want to belong to a bunch of, it's not that who he is, man. It's who he wants to hang around with. It's who he wants to be like. It's who he identifies with. I'd much rather identify with a guy like Romney than a guy like Obama. Who knows why he didn't want to be with Obama? He's a socialist. Is he really? Who knows? Is Romney really a freak? Who knows? The Jews run the world. Is there, you know, all of those things that everybody, I don't know, but sounds good to me, man. I want to be a part of that. I'll join that club. And even if they find out that all the stuff I believe is bullcrap, I'll deny it to the bitter end because I belong. Same thing with this whole thing having to do with sex. Why do you have sex with somebody without wearing protection? Because sex is more important than living. You'd rather die than not have sex. What is that about? Well, it's like belonging to somebody. Am I right or am I wrong? You know, it's all about, maybe it's about love, but it's about connecting. Even people who should connect with everybody and find it difficult to do that, let's say, for instance, really religious people, really Christian people, although, you know, you're supposed to love your fellow man, they can't really do that because my fellow man, some of them are smelly and some of them have got vomit all over them and some of them I don't like. But I know I can love at least one kind of fellow man. I'll love another Christian, you know, so I can hang out with Christ. That's the club they belong to. All right, so we'll continue to investigate this horse dung. I think this is really important, but we have to take another break. And when we come back on the other side of this, well, it's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here. Tonight we are dispensing with the normal theatrics of the Phil Henry Radio Show, which has been for years at the. You may not know this. A lot of you guys listening may not know this, and I don't blame you. Our radio show for years, maybe I don't know, but I think that I'm safe in saying our radio show has been at the very top when it comes to shows that are top quality. Satirical presentations on radio, if you will, audio comedy, spoken word comedy, radio comedy. Our radio show has been a top tier show for years. It's been a very edgy show. It's been a show that has been at times baffling and puzzling to the industry. It's a particularly difficult show for a lot of programmers to deal with because we've got this thing called talk radio, and you're only allowed to do politics. So. It would be almost as if saying, I make the greatest tuxedos in the world. That's great, but we only have T-shirt shops, you know. Nonetheless, I'm not complaining. I'm just letting you know that may have something to do with why, not just me, but any time you sort of hit the airwaves in the spoken word world with comedy or satire, people kind of scratch their heads or scratch something else. All right, so enough of that, because I don't want to talk about that tonight. But I'm not doing all the funny voices tonight either. What we're doing tonight is we're going to talk, and we're going to find out exactly, well, we're going to find out exactly who Phil is, maybe. You know, who am I? And that may be interesting, and it may not be interesting. I understand. It's your time is your own, folks. You know, you do whatever you want to do. I think you may find it fascinating. I've never done this before. I mean, I've never really let it all hang out. And that doesn't mean I'm going to be using four-letter words or anything like that. In fact, one of the things I've found in doing a uncensored pre-show on our video cast, which is where we are right now. We have a video cast going on our website, philhenryshow.com. But one of the things I found out is that when you're uncensored, the thing that offends people the most isn't so much the words you use. It's the emotion that you are expressing and projecting. It's the candor that you are showing with the some of the topics that you talk about. One of the things the audience really doesn't like is when you're honest about them. Audiences, just like voters, have never dealt with honesty about themselves very well. Now, I get it. I've got a product. It's called Phil Henry, and I sell it. But one of the things that is a part of that product is my interaction with my audience. It's kind of like saying it's an uncensored show. People think, oh, dirty words. They never, ever really bank on the whole emotional candor part of it. They don't bank on an uncensored show being something that's going to get into uncomfortable territory topic-wise. That's when they, wait, now hold on. When you said uncensored, I thought you meant, you know, saying four-letter words and stuff. No, what I meant by uncensored is uncensored. Well, this is making me very uncomfortable, what you're saying. That's what I meant when I said uncensored. Well, maybe I'm not so much into uncensored. Well, you know, you got to make that decision for yourself. Now you're telling me what? You're telling me that honesty, that's what I want. I want truth and honesty. You want truth and honesty? Yes, I do. Tell it like it is. Okay, you suck. Well, now wait just a minute, you know. Well, you said you wanted honesty. You know, but not that kind. That's ridiculous. Everybody's got limits. Everybody, even the most unlimited guy in the world, even a guy that'll tell you that he believes in absolute free speech. Even the people that believe that there should be no limits whatsoever on what people say, even people that will tell you that the onerous effects of the FCC rulings and the blah, 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 that should not happen, and we support the right to a guy to speak his mind. Even those people have areas that they don't want you to get into. They do believe in censorship. Everybody does. Everybody believes in censorship. Don't kid yourself. Yes, they do. Now, some people tell you, oh, sure, I believe in censorship. Here's the censorship I believe. What is that? I turn my radio off. Well, no, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Not if I was talking about you. Yes, I would. No, you wouldn't. No, you know that you wouldn't. If I was talking about you, you'd leave your radio on. You want to make sure that I don't say anything about you that isn't true or isn't bad or just isn't embarrassing. And that's an impossible thing to turn your radio off from. You will leave that radio on. So everybody not only believes in censorship, everybody at some point can't turn the radio off. I mean, I find this stuff out the hard way, folks. I mean, I've been down this road. I have had listeners and audiences rebel against me for my honesty. Really ugly stuff, too, you know, but they do. And I can't blame them, but I can also say, you asked for it. You know, so there's that. That's a little political discussion we can have. You know, politicians can't be honest. If they were honest, nobody'd vote for them. You know that. I know that. Can't be honest. Why does everybody like Ron Paul? I'll tell you why everyone likes Ron Paul. Do you want to know why? Because Ron Paul can't get elected. Now, when I say everybody likes Ron Paul, not everybody likes Ron Paul. In fact, Ron Paul can't get, bust maybe 5% of the popular vote once we have a general election? Or maybe more. I'll give him more. Let's say 10%. Hell, maybe even 15%. I don't know, but it's nothing that's going to get him elected. Ron Paul is a club that people belong to. You see what I'm saying? It's a club. It's an exclusive club that says, I am different. I am not a part of the two-party system. I'm not even an independent. I'm even cooler than that. I'm a Ron Paul voter. And what's that? Well, it's about constitutional jazz and money and this and that and a whole bunch of really impossible things that are never going to happen. That's what I'm for. Oh, now, so you admit that it won't happen. I'm not admitting that it won't happen. I represent a fringe element that this country needs. I represent something other than the two mainstream, and it's weird to say two mainstream, but we do have two mainstream parties. I represent something other than that. So I'm something that I think the country needs, which is what? Which is a really aberrant, inexplicable political posturing. Can you explain to me what Ron Paul... I think I can, but I probably wouldn't be able to. It doesn't make any difference. You know, it's freedom. It's less government. It's all of those things that I like, you like, we all like. But I like it because Ron Paul says it. Do you think he'll get elected? No, he won't get elected. I don't want him to get elected. If he gets elected, that means the club's too big for anybody to pay any attention to me. I got to find another club to belong to. It's a bunch of wanking, folks. Excuse my French. So what I've found out in just my short time on this planet, it isn't what people necessarily believe. It's the community they want to be a part of, you know? They want to be a part of a community of people. They want to be a liberal, they want to be a conservative, or they want to be a Ron Paul guy, or they want to be the people that live in this neighborhood, or they want to be the people that live in that neighborhood. If you're poor, you find something that's cool about being poor. How can you not? I mean, if you're poor... Are you going to say, I'm poor now, so I'm just a sack of you-know-what, but one of these days I'm going to have money, and then I can talk about how great I am? You ain't going to wait around for that. You're going to talk about how cool it is, not necessarily to be poor, but to come from the other side of the tracks. In fact, people never lose that. People make that up, even if they don't come from the other side of the tracks. They'll find that one or two things that happened in their life that made them a real badass, and they'll keep bringing that up for the rest of their lives. Nobody ever says, I grew up rich. With any pride. That's the only part, the only way you're belonging to the rich community is as someone who achieved something. You cannot say I'm rich if you didn't really achieve it, if you can't prove that it was something you earned. Then you're just a nobody. You're a just you're somebody's rich little boy. You're your mama's boy. You were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. Nobody says that. But a lot of people say I'm rich, I'm wealthy, because I earned it. I got money. Yeah, I got a bunch of companies, and I got a bunch of businesses, you know. Even the wives or the husbands, those individuals that are along for the ride, that maybe they married into it, even they can claim some validation because they earned it by saying, look at the guy I find, married this guy. Or I married her, I married into it. I'm part of their family, I'm part of this big moneyed group. I'm with it, man. They found me acceptable. I earned it. It's ours. This community property thing, man, I'll tell you, some people take it to a pathological extent. Yes, the law does say community property, but you're not trying to tell me that you actually earned that money. It's our money. Yes, but your wife or husband, they go out the door every day to earn that. It's ours. There is no difference. Some people don't get out of bed before 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They got no idea how their spouse makes their money. They are the beneficiary of it. And they probably make a salary of some kind. Maybe they're making in excess of seven figures a year, and they don't even know what he or she does for a living. They're laying in their ass until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's what, that's about. So, everybody belongs to something, but it's got to be kind of a cool version of that. You can't be rich if you were born into it. That's no claim to fame at all. If you're poor because you are a loser, because you had something that you lost, you don't want to claim that either. So it's kind of the opposite. Being born into poverty is a very hip, credible thing that you can take into the world and say, I was born into it. I was raised up in it. I got my ass kicked, and now I'm here to take my bite out of the world. That's good. Being born into wealth, you're just a punk. Nobody ever says when they're an adult, I earned this poverty. No, you want to get the hell out of it. But when you're an adult, you will say, I earned all of this wealth. These are the different little clubs, and these are the different little societies that we can belong to, but make sure you don't overstep or you don't go through the wrong door. And if you're a person of mature years and you say, look at me, I'm poor, I earned it, man, you made a big mistake. So poverty is great if it is a hardcore orientation, if you will. It's where if it's your organic beginnings. That's a fantastic thing. Go into the world, trumpet it, tell everybody what a badass you are, how hard you lived, how hard you came up, and how you fought your way out of there, and now you are at the center of the world. But don't ever, ever, ever talk about your poverty in terms of something that you came to as the result of your failure. Now, here's the big story on all of this. When someone talks about being poor and living hard, they don't ever tell you how they got that way. If they want you to respect them, they'll say they were born into it. But they sure as hell won't tell you that they fell on their ass, had some bad times, and that's where they're living today. They'll just tell you a story so that, you'll love them and respect them. Same thing with money. This exact same thing, Leah, there's sort of a different story. I got money. How did you get it? I earned it. You didn't get born into it. No. Yeah, I worked in my father's company, if that's what you're talking about. But I never know. Who knows if it's true or not? But I personally, Phil Henry, here's what I would rather. And this is based upon a great deal of study. I would rather be rich, having been born into it, and having people point their finger at me and laugh at me as the little Lord Fauntleroy as I lay there with cocoa butter on me by the pool and my mother and father wonder when I'm going to get up off my ass and get a job. I would far more rather be that guy and be laughed at and pointed at and maybe even be provoked into a fist fight occasionally when I go down to the club than to be the guy who is poor and came about that poverty because of failure. No. I'd rather be the moneyed son of wealthy parents. So you see, that kind of embarrassment, that doesn't bother me at all. I think a lot of people are the same thing as me. You guys just haven't looked at it that way. Now, how do we do that? I don't know. I'll figure that out during this commercial break, and I'll come back with an answer. How to get born into money, even though you're now, what, 40? Don't worry. I got an answer coming back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is a night of discovery, and we haven't even scratched the surface. Haven't even gotten close to some of the profane things that I'm feeling tonight. Yes, I said profane. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back on this Monday night. We're doing something that we don't ordinarily do, and that is we're stripping away all of the horse dung. Not horse dung. We're stripping away all of the theatrical accoutrements, all of the trappings of the show. We are dispensing with the character voices and the satirical approach. I'm giving it to you as straight as I can, folks, without being too heavy-ass political. You know, I got to tell you, there's only room in the talk radio, in the world, just in conversation, there's only room for politics maybe about 10%, 15% of the time. Nobody in their right mind talks about politics 100% of the time. No one who is walking around and has been given a clean bill of health by the head shrinker is going to walk around talking about politics. If you sit down at a coffee shop, and the guy next to you, and you, I don't know if you guys are like me. Sometimes when I go into a breakfast place, I sit at the counter. Why? Well, number one, because there's generally, if I'm by myself, I'm not really fancy. I will go and I'll sit at the counter. And why do I do that? Because there's generally a place at the counter. And my favorite breakfast place, which I have no problem at all in telling you, is Mrs. Olson's right over here on Hollywood Beach. A fantastic place. Hollywood Beach, California. Hollywood by the Sea, as we call it. Not my erstwhile home of Hollywood, Florida. When I told people that I actually had an apartment there, they stopped and stared at me, and then I would walk away, and they'd still be staring at the space that I had inhabited. In other words, they were frozen in time because people pretty much well over the age of 106 lived in Hollywood, Florida, and I don't know if it's still the same. But I'm talking about Hollywood by the beach, Hollywood by the Sea, which is also by the beach over here. And I would sit at the counter, and as is the case, those of us who eat our breakfast at the counter in the morning, a lot of times we may have just very light, small talk with each other. Yeah, it's really, see the Dodgers, oh, look at that, the Dodgers, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, no big thing. Occasionally there's a guy, though, there's one guy at the counter. And he's the guy that everyone sort of, after a while, recognizes he's doing a lot of more talking than I really want to do. Hey, see those Dodgers last night? That's what he's doing. He's way at the other end. Yeah, they really, boy, I tell you, they put that guy in. Yeah, you're right, man. You know, and you're trying to be nice. Now, I encountered a guy like that, only it was politics. And he was not yelling at me from the other side of the cafe, because that guy is just a mental, you know, he's destroyed mentally. Something happened to him. You know, maybe it was electroshock. I don't know. He might have gotten out, and you're fine, Billy, and everything's going to be good. Okay. You know, he talks at that level no matter where he is. But this guy was next to me, and he was, hi, how are you, sir? I'm very good, thank you. You know, and I'm eating my breakfast. Mm-hmm. So what do you think of the situation right now as it pertains to the country? You, in what sense, sir? Well, you know, we've just had this election. Well, I think that we'll give the president a chance. You know, I'm now I'm eating breakfast, and it's okay. I don't mind talking to the guy, but now I'm wondering, where is he going? We feel that there's always this thing, we. What does he mean by we? There's only one of him, and he's saying we feel. That now I'm beginning to get the sense that he's part of a larger, and here we go again. It's not about what you believe. It's about the community that you're a part of. It's not about what they do. It's about, am I the member of a family or am I not? Because if you tell me I belong, man, I will go to the wall. Some people are that messed up, folks. And you don't have to be in the Manson family. You can be in the Republican Party. You can be in the Democratic Party. You can be in the Ron Paul team. I'm telling you, that's how some people are. Now, a lot of people will say to you, oh, well, sure, Phil, but that's not everybody. I'm telling you that it's the majority of people. I'm not saying that they're crazy. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that the driving force is family. It's got nothing to do with belief. Very little. It has more to do with what resonates with you deeper than that. I know. Yeah, you're saying I'm nuts. I'm not nuts. I know what I'm talking about. All I got to do is talk to people who are Republicans or Democrats or Ron Paul, and it doesn't take me more than 2 or 3 minutes to know whether they find out whether they know what the hell it is they're talking about or not. I've talked to people, you'd swear to God they know what they're talking about, but they get right in your face. Let me tell you something, this guy did is... And they immediately go to that place that everybody goes to. The guy that they're against, he's the problem, but tell me about your guy. Well, all right, when we're going to come back, I'll give you more of what happened to me that day in that coffee shop, and also how to make money. I'm telling you, it's way easier than you think. Way easier. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Why aren't I making it? Well, maybe I am. Maybe I am.
Phil Hendry.